Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. What's wrong with my throat? God, that's the first time I've spoke this morning. And it's going to get worse because we've got a lot to get into on the show this morning. A little bit early because Seb's got a match at 11 o'clock, so we're half nine. I'll let you know about that later on the Arsenal-Man City game. But look, let's call it as it is. Is this good enough for Manchester United? The cancel culture's out in force after last night. You know, the fan police telling us what we can and can't do. I think, yet again, Ruben Amorim's honesty puts us in the position where we need to be. Ahmad's come off Instagram. Shocking. Belabor. Hint about him wanting to come Man United from the Brighton coach. Bruno Fernandes, 100 goals for Manchester United. Harry Maguire, 250 appearances for Man United. United players back on social media celebrating a much-deserved win. Where are we all at this Sunday morning? Because I just think that, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, just hold your opinions and be allowed to have them. I think, like, I look at the match reaction last night. Fundamentally, I'm very, very happy that we've won. There's nothing better than beating Chelsea. They'd be all over us if we didn't. So, you know, absolutely. And it won't be that long until United lose a game again. Absolutely. But I'm just, you know what? I don't know about you, but I find sometimes when we win, it's more toxic in the fan base than when we lose. And why is that? Because we've got two extreme groups in our fan base. The toxic positive and the toxic negative. And those of us in the middle, which I think are the majority, end up getting it from both sides, regardless of the result. What Ruben Amorim said yesterday. I remember when we'd drawn against Ipswich in his first game, and then his first home game, he won against Everton, Ruben Amorim. And we had people outside Old Trafford with their cameras going, Amorim ball is here. Amorim ball is here. We're cooking. We're absolutely cooking. And I did the match reaction and went, these people don't know what they're on about. These people will be Amorim out within a few weeks' time when we lose a game. That's not Amorim ball. That's nothing like Sporting. And people were like, you're just negative, the negative stand. And then half an hour later, Amorim does an interview going, that's not Amorim ball. You know, it's a good result. We're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be good days and bad days, but that's not my vision yet. It's going to take time. And you sort of like go, oh, you know, so I was right about that. We are right about that. That's not Amorim ball. There's going to be ups and downs, and we've got to be prepared for the ups and the downs. So what did Amorim say after the game yesterday? He said that, I'm just thinking about the next one. Of course, it's really good to win. You can feel the environment in the dressing room, but forget that feeling. I prefer the other feeling now because it will bring us the urgency to win again. That is really important. And he also goes on to say that we can forget that we suffer a lot when we're in the top, in our maximum, in all aspects. We can lose against Grimsby. We can win against any team. We need to take that for next week. 3 points. It's trying to create the momentum. And what Ruben Amorim is basically saying is, you know what? We can lose against anybody and we can win against everybody, and winning is great, but we need to go and win again and again and again. So you sort of, you know, you do your match reaction, you're honest, you post something, I'm talking about you, and then you get all the bloody do-gooders telling you that you're toxic. Not toxic. I can't stand Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. Whether we win 6-0 or lose 6-0, I don't like Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. I don't rate Bienda in goal. I don't like that we're not feeding Sesko. You know, these things are there whether we win or lose. And I think that we have, unfortunately, and I'm sure many of you get it as well, we having a conversation around Manchester United is very, very difficult, because if you win, the win, lose or draw brigade, you know, win, lose or draw, just sing about the team, they come at you. And if you lose and you try and go, it's not that bad, the Amorim out has come at you. Got three very definitive factions in our fan base. Super positive that they're toxic, super negative that they're toxic, and then in the middle that we're apparently toxic. And the reality is, we won a game of football. I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what? We've beaten Chelsea. I've watched Liverpool this season. They've been crap. Like, they've given up 2-goal leads 3 times. They've won games in stoppage time 3 times. They're top of the league 5 from 5, and they know they're nowhere near as good as they need to be. And no one's talking about that. You know, Liverpool beat Arsenal because Szoboszlai scored a worldie. Oh, that's fine. Man United beat Chelsea 2-1. Yeah, there's a few. Oh, there's a red card. There was this, there was that. There's nothing in that game that wasn't like, oh, you were lucky. Oh, PGMOL. Oh, VAR. We won the game legitimately. There's a lot to unpick. And you know what? I don't really need to say anything because Ruben Amorim says it all. We're capable of winning any game. We're capable of losing any game. So running to social media to get all excited, the players, probably makes him think, you know what? I did see a very good tweet today. It was, let me just read this back. Because, you know, this is what we're up against. So basically, here it was. The Athletic. Manchester United have not won a Premier League game since March. 3-0 against Leicester, unless they scored a penalty or played against 10 men. Even when they seemed in control, they let Chelsea back in. And I saw it from at Reek to Squeeze, who, funny name, says, just say congratulations and move on. You can get us next week, you know. And it's so true. Even when we win, they're going to come for us. They're going to find a stat. Ruben Amorim's win percentage is like 20-something percent. It's not going to go up to 90% because we beat Chelsea. I know and you know. This needs to be the start of something. You know, we need to beat Brentford next week and then we need to beat Sunderland next week. And it's three wins in a row and United strands two games away from a haircut, you know. We have to go and beat Brentford and Sunderland. And I sort of look at it and go, the Amorim outers will go quiet and they may well be loud again next week. The toxic positivity will be, you know, giving it to everybody going, you're not proper fans because you're not saying we're going to win the league. And then those of us in the middle will be going, look, hopefully this is the start of something. Because it's a great feeling to win. It is a great feeling to win. I am going to talk about Garnacho. I mean, look, you know what? Looking at the reaction to Garnacho at the ground yesterday was incredible, wasn't it? I think that... and just on whether we're back or not, I think that's more for a Sunday night show because I want to go through the news this morning. But, you know, I think there's quite a few things to unpack there. But what I would say is, really happy with the result. But... we live in a world where people want to take people down, by the way. Human nature, especially in the UK, you driving around in a Ferrari, people want to scratch it. When I was in America, I think people actually want to applaud you more. It's just it's a cultural thing. I don't know what it's like in your country. The UK, we've always been this. Somebody is successful, it's okay for about 2 minutes. And then it's like, oh, look, they had an affair. Or, oh, look, you know, they'll try and bring you down. That's what it's like in the UK. And I think that, you know, we have to be aware that, you know, you're never going to get that where everyone, you know, we're always going to get people who pile on. That's just the way it is. But I look at United and I go, fundamentally, winning makes me feel good. But I don't sit here this morning going, we're back. I don't look at it this morning and go, problem solved, because I said before the game, and I think reactions to team news before a game sometimes can be very, you know, sensationalist. And I've made that mistake in the past, which is why I never do it now. I literally put the tweet out there as sort of a bookmark in history to say, even though I can't stand that team, I think we're going to win. And I was right, because sometimes a team gets picked that you don't like, and you go, rubbish, we're going to get beat. And then you win and you look a moron. So I actually saw that team and thought, I bet we'll win. Because football's a funny old game. Chelsea get a man sent off and suddenly, you know, you should win the game. But I didn't like that team yesterday. And I said it before the game. And I don't want to be history to be rewritten and go, I'm a top red, whatever that is. There is no such thing. But, you know, this hypothetical top red. I'm a top red. I saw the team. I kissed Amorim's boots. I said it was an amazing team and we would win and we would win. We did win. I'm a top red. I didn't like the team. I think it's short term. I think there's half that team that won't even be here in a year. It was a team to go and win the game and it won the game. It was brave and it had to work and it did work. Well done to Ruben Amorim. But next week against 11 men at Brentford, they could get a result against us and we'll be back where we were before the Chelsea game. And I think that's where we are. Take each game as it comes. Try and build some momentum. What I said at the start of the season and what many of you said as well, by game 10, we just need to be in touch with the top five. I think fifth place for us would be a dream and it probably gets us Champions League football, certainly gets us Europa League football. That's the dream this season. After 10 games, I'm hoping that's where we're going to be. Why 10 games? One, Europe's up and running and it's going to start to hurt the teams in Europe. Two, 10 games in, I would expect newer players to be adapted into the team and this to have some rhythm. That's what I'm sort of looking at. I'm certainly not talking about Amorim out or anything like that. And it's funny, isn't it? You know, when we lose a game, it's always about the formation. It's always about the system. When we win a game, no one talks about the formation and the system. And that's why I find it hilarious. He's not going to change it anyway. That's not really the thing. Going back to what I said about Garnacho, I mean, I don't really care.
I really don't really care. He's gone to Chelsea. Boo-hoo. You know, whatever. He's happy. We're happy. We move on. Do I think he looked a little bit shocked at the reaction from the crowd? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But if he was shocked by the reaction of the crowd, it sort of reminds me of certain ex-Man United journalists who used to talk about online fans like they were different to fans in the ground. Fans in the ground are online, and online fans are in the ground. I've always said this, this distinction between online fans and in-the-ground fans, and trying to make out that in-the-ground fans have different mentalities to online fans. They're the same bloody thing. And you know what? When Garnacho is getting criticised and booed and songs are being sung in a negative way, if he's shocked by that, well, he's an idiot. Because he basically shat on this club. And one thing about this fan base where we are always very good is that if a player shits on this football club, you're not going to get applauded. Whether you're Tevez, Di Maria and now Garnacho, you will not get applauded. I mean, it's amazing they're all Argentinian because we love Martinez. But, you know, I was actually, you know, pleasantly... Well, I wasn't even surprised. I just thought, fair play. This guy has been walking around in a Villa shirt. This guy, you know, sat on his arse waiting for his dream move to Chelsea. He got what he deserved. But I tell you who didn't get what he deserved, Ahmad. I think the Ahmad, I seen this morning that Ahmad has deleted all of his social media on Instagram. And I was like, what's all this about? And then I saw from last night, there was a picture of him and Garnacho swapping shirts. Now, I might be putting two and two together here and making six. And if I am, you know, that's unfair. But I would imagine Ahmad has had a load of shit. I even saw in our comments section last night, people going, Ahmad's the new member of the bomb squad. And I'm like, what? What are we doing? We've won a game of football and we're hypothetically guessing at a situation to go after another player. And I'm sort of like, what are we doing at this football club? There's plenty of things to talk about that aren't working. You know, is the team working? The ownership isn't working. Certain players shouldn't be here after years and years. But Ahmad is one of the players that people were screaming free Ahmad when Ten Hag was here. He starts most games under Amorim. He played the full game yesterday and I would have took him off. He is a clear young talent that is part of the future of Manchester United. And here we go again. You know, why are people going after him? He's had a bad start to the season. I'm never not going to be honest about those sort of things. He's had a bad start to the season in relation to the level he should be at. He's not there. But member of the bomb squad, having to be, you know, remove his Instagram. What the hell are we doing? Like, this is where I say we are a factor in the negativity around the football club at times. Because what are we actually doing? Yes, he's not had a good start to the season, but you're telling me he's not part of our future. You're telling me he's not one of the most talented players we've got. And now we've got a guy who likes to be active on social media, let's be honest. Maybe he's a little bit too active for the older people in the chat, myself included. But that's the way of the world. If he wants to post a picture with Garnacho swapping his shirt, what are we to do? It's his mate. They're from the same fucking agency. I saw a clip this morning of them having a chat on the pitch and people were like, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Bruno walks over and gives him a hug. Garnacho gives him a hug. So that's okay, though, because Bruno played well and he scored a goal. Ahmad played badly, so let's go in on him. Come on, like, it's ridiculous. You might disagree with it, but Garnacho's probably mates with most of the United first team. They're not, it's not the old days. He's not going to get clattered by Gary Neville or Roy Keane. That's not the world we live in now. Yeah, it's not going to be see you out there, mate. You're going to get it. These people are mates with them. They're part of the same fucking agency. You can't go in on a player because they might be mates with Garnacho. That's the modern game. And the fact that he's deleting social media, to me, that is a big red flag because this is a player that obviously is, you know, larger than life, has a fun personality. We've seen the banter on social media from Ahmad. If he's deleting his socials, that means it's impacting him. And that means we're impacting him. And I don't mind impacting players if they're playing badly and, you know, they're not good enough for the shirt, this, that and the other. But these are the sort of players that we shouldn't be going in on. And, you know, I think it's I think it's a really big shame because even when we win, we lose, you know? And fundamentally for me, Man United winning, even if they don't deserve it, I will always celebrate it because I saw Sir Alex's teams win when they didn't deserve it. And we don't win that often. Look at our win ratio under Amrin. We don't win that often. If his win ratio is below 30%, that means we don't win 3 out of 10 games. And people are moaning about winning. Like, I think we should just enjoy it and have a conversation about the things that maybe concern us going forward. Belaba. I want to talk about Belaba very quickly. Very interesting interview with the Brighton manager yesterday. Now, Belaba was hooked at half-time again yesterday. Played very, very bad, apparently. Basically, and I don't know where your thoughts are on this. I think there's a lot of people saying bring him to Manchester United. I'm starting to think don't bring him to Manchester United. I have a probably very niche opinion on this. So Belaba has been terrible for Brighton this season, right? The Brighton manager after the game says yesterday, look, subconsciously, this might be impacting him. Man United wanted him. And maybe when a player knows that Man United want to play big money for them, and they don't get that move, you know, it's impacting them, whether they think it is or not. And we've got to work through that together because he's a good player. And at the moment, you know, he's not quite there. Now, a lot of people are getting excited saying bargain deal in January. And maybe that will happen. And maybe he'll come to Man United and he'll be absolutely brilliant. What worries me about it is what I've just said about Ahmad there. You come to Man United, mate, and you think, you know, your performances are going to get impacted because you didn't get a move. You come to Man United and you have a bad game, you're going to be called the next Jemba Jemba or the next bloody Van der Beek. How are you going to deal with that? I look at it in a mentality way and go, is this not a red flag? Personally, if I'm Belaba and I don't get a move to Man United, I'm going to play even better to prove that I should have got that move and I will get that move. The fact that he's gone the other way, we need strong mentality and we need strong personality. Now, a lot of people are saying this is great because he wants United. He's going to, you know, he's downing tools. The price is going to come down and it could work really, really well. But you can also flip it and go, is this not a concern that he is mentally, you know, dropped off because of this? And do we need players like that at Man United? But look, he needs to get it together because we want players at this football club that can deal with the pressure because the pressure is very, very big. Bruno Fernandes said it after the game yesterday. I think I've got the quote, actually. He said, look, it's very tough for some players to become Man United players because this can be very heavy to come out of the tunnel and get out there. It's a privilege for everyone and everyone is very proud to wear the shirt. But obviously, it's a big moment for everyone. So we need to get used to that and the expectation that this club has. Even if you don't win, I don't know how many years the Premier League, it doesn't matter and it doesn't change anything. The aim is always the same because this is what the club demands. So that's the captain, you know, 100 goals for Man United yesterday. And that's the captain talking about the pressure of the shirt. It's a big shirt. And, you know, it's very encouraging that Belaba, you know, may well be hinting that he wants to come to Manchester United. But also, is it not a concern in relation to, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about it. I am a little bit concerned about it. I mean, I'd take him in a heartbeat. Our midfield's not good enough. I mean, you saw it yesterday. Casemiro starting games and doing exactly what Casemiro does. Agate came on okay and did quite well. And Mainu gets the last few minutes. The midfield for me is not where it needs to be. Funnily enough, Ruben Amorim, talking about Casemiro, said, Casemiro feels worse than I do. We won, so I'll forget about it a bit, but he's going to suffer because he's a great professional. Look, again, this is not negativity. You back yourself as a fan. You have your own little intricacies as a fan. You have your own ideas. We all do it. Some people think Delo should win a Ballon d'Or. Some people think he should be playing in the National League. The truth is neither. Some people think Bienda should be the starting goalkeeper while Lemens settles in. Some people would throw Lemens in straight away because they think he's better. We're all going to have different opinions. Welcome to the world. You're entitled to them. Don't bloody tell people they can't have opinions. It's, you know, as long as it's not abusive or toxic, what's the problem? The point here is Amorim got it wrong yesterday. And there'll be people going, oh, here he goes again. And there'll be people going, he's absolutely right. And there'll be people going, oh, I'm just going to eat my cornflakes. Don't like this bit. We follow Man United more than Amorim. Amorim wasn't even a Man United manager a year ago. I very much doubt he was tuning into the United stand, watching every 8 o'clock show and watching every single game going, yeah, I agree with him about that. Amorim, in that game, did what, was it Ten Hag or Ollie did with Fred in the Champions League? He didn't see something we saw. And you lot don't give yourselves enough credit. You don't. You think because somebody's being paid, you know, a few hundred grand a year to be Man United manager, they know better than you. They probably know better than you when it comes to man management and tactics, but they don't know the club better than you. Man United quiz over the last 30 years, you're going to beat Amorim. You know, player characteristics and traits, you're going to beat Amorim. He's only been here a year. We said it in the game yesterday. It was a topic of conversation. Now, some people wouldn't do it. Some people would have done it. Some people were unsure. But as soon as Casemiro got that yellow card, the watch-along chat was, get him off. Get him off now. It's raining. He's going to make another foul. He's going to get sent off. I remember on the 23rd minute, I said, I'm not saying we need to sub Casemiro on the 23rd minute, but I am saying we need to sub him on the 23rd minute because it's the risk. And I literally said, the thing is, if you risk it and he doesn't get the second yellow card, you're fine. But if you risk it and he does get the second yellow card, it's on you. And I said that. Again, I can't be a hypocrite. I said that. And Amorim risked it. And Casemiro got sent off. So, look, if I'm Ruben Amorim, deflection, PR, brilliant. Casemiro's feeling worse than I do. We win the game, so we move on. I get that. He won't be playing next week anyway, so whatever. But realistically, he needs to understand the risk better there. Is it stubbornness? Is it naivety? Was he just rolling the dice? He's got two midfielders on the bench in Ugarte and Mainoo who could just come on. You stick 11 players on the pitch. You boost your goal difference. Mate, we won the game 2-1 and it was, you know, squeaky bum time at the end. That's because Casemiro got sent off. If that cross that comes in where Bielsa palms it away well, if that hits a Chelsea player and goes in and it's 2-2, the hypocrisy of the fact is we're not going to be able to move for Amorim should have took Casemiro off. So sometimes you've got to look at it and go, you know what? You know, he made a mistake there. He needs to learn from that. Toxic Amorim out. Toxic Amorim out undercover, says HE. Angel Heart says, hi, Mark. You've often said, and I agree, that once things start to go wrong for a manager, they very rarely turn it round. So we're just delaying the inevitable and wasting time with Amorim. I mean, this is a great point, Angel Heart. I don't think Ruben Amorim thinks he's turned it around. I mean, he literally said after the game, he mentioned Grimsby, we can lose to anyone and we can beat anyone. So I don't think we've moved on at all. You know, I think we've got to beat Brentford and Sunderland, have three wins in a row and be in a much better position. I think the only thing I'm going to say is that result is brilliant. The result is brilliant. A win is a win. And I'm never going to moan about winning if we don't play great. And it was a weird game. I mean, you know what? I was having this chat with someone last night. The thing about that game is I'm seeing people doing screenshots and tactically analysing the game. And I'm like, get a life. What are you doing? It's chucking it down with rain for 90 minutes. They get their goalkeeper sent off after five. We get a player sent off before half time. And you're trying to tactically tell us about how that game played out. That's not a tactics game. I guarantee you there's very little that Ruben Amorim can sit them down about this week and go, we got this right. You know what that game was? Carnage. And it wasn't anybody's fault. It was pissing it down with rain. The ball wouldn't move. You're down to 10 men. We're down to 10 men. It was just a game to win. So in some ways, moaning about the win is irrelevant because it was just a game to win in weird circumstances. The most important thing for me is to go and win it next week. Do I think Amorim can turn it around? I mean, look, I look at Graham Potter. That's a sacking, you know, in 4K. You know, that he's getting sacked. He ain't going to turn that around. The momentum is driven. In relation to Amorim, I don't really feel like that. I think there's a momentum in the media. There's a momentum with certain fans. But I don't feel like the club, you know, you get a feeling of the club. I don't feel that the club are walking down this path. I don't think they want to do that. So look, Amorim's record at Man United is horrific. And yeah, you could look at it and go, he ain't going to turn this ship around. And maybe that will be the case. I don't know. I'm sort of like that about it. If you ask me to say, is he going to turn it around? And I have to say yes or no, I probably would have to honestly go look at the history and say no. But I'm still hopeful, yes. I don't think we're at that point yet. Do you think not signing a proper left back like Hernandez last year, who can create chances, is hurting us as Pan? Look, I think again, a good comment. I think Dorgu yesterday was good. and at times still learning. And I think we've got a work in progress in Dorgu. That cross in the first minute was brilliant. First time, quick, caused problems. Sesko nearly gets on it. Mbeumo does. That's what you want to see. And his energy levels are brilliant. But he's a work in progress. He's so young. It could be 2 years before he starts to show real quality. You know, a more experienced left back would obviously help us. But, you know, we haven't gone that. Hey G says that was the softest second yellow card ever in the Premier League. I agree. I think it was a soft yellow card. But ultimately, was Casemiro stupid grabbing hold of him from behind when he's on a yellow card? Don't do it, you know? And that's the problem with Casemiro, isn't it? You know he's going to do it. It was soft. I mean, you look at Cucurella, he should have got a red. He got a yellow for what Casemiro got a yellow for. Saint Blanco says, Rory Jennings was mouthing off Amrem last week, saying he's the cause of the pain and how Iriola is the governor. The head loss is sensational. Yeah, but it's just paid actor, isn't it? Did Ricky really blame Dalit for the City match and said he's an OK player? His sure bias is off the charts, says Rajaf. Look, we've all got our interests. We've all got our intricacies. We've all got our favourites. That's just the way football is. I love and respect Ricky. Sometimes he makes me laugh. Sometimes he comes out with stuff that I think is just really incredible analysis. But we're all, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I think that, you know, if you want a huge positive, Dalit and Mazraoui, I said it all last season and I say it again. What a couple of signings they were. What a double deal that was. May not be the most glamorous signings. We had a horrible season last year. I said it all last season. Dalit barely put a foot wrong. He came in with a reputation that was damaged already because certain people decided to call him things he wasn't. Mazraoui has been ridiculously consistent. I actually agree. I gave him a 6 last night, and that's because I sort of backed myself into a corner going too low with certain other players. You know, he was better than that. I think Mazraoui is so important. It's so important to have players that consistently play around a 7 out of 10. Because consistently over the years, we very rarely have players that play average. So when you bring in people like Mazraoui and Dalit, who consistently give you 7s, that makes you better. And I think they've been really good signings. And, you know, they don't get the credit they deserve because it's not glamorous. You know, maybe they don't have a British passport. I don't know what it's all about. But, you know, certain media outlets don't talk about them. You know, they don't get spoken about in the media. They get no focus at all. But in 10 years, we've had such a massive list of bad signings. You could write a book on the horrific deals we've done. And then you've got Mazraoui and Dalit, who actually came into the club in one of the biggest upheaval moments we've ever had. You know, Ineos have just taken over. Ten Hag signings. Ten Hag sacked 2 months later. Amrim comes in with a new system. And it sort of makes me think if we can find any level of stability, imagine how better they will be. Because they've actually been consistently good in a really bad period for the club. I think they've both been very, very good signings and they don't get the credit they deserve, apart from the people that matter, which is you. I mean, Dalit man of the match last night, brilliant again. I always talk about players reading the room, Ahmad included, says Short is Shaw. Yeah, I think it's... look, when Bruno Fernandes is liking posts about Sancho, you're the captain of the club. You represent the club like he did yesterday. 100 goals for Man United's fantastic. We saw the best of Bruno yesterday because he didn't play in the midfield. He played more advanced. Next week, I'm worried when he's playing in the midfield. But as the captain of the club, I think you've got to read the room. You know, I'm used to the captain of the club seeing one of his players getting into an argument with the Arsenal player running down the tunnel and saying, do you want some? You know, I'm not used to a captain of Man United getting on Instagram and liking posts of somebody who's shat all over the club. But in relation to Ahmad's, he's not the captain. He's a young player. He's had a bad start to the season, but he's one of our best talented players. He's been asked to play in a position that maybe doesn't suit him. He shouldn't have to delete Instagram because he's had a picture with Garnacho. They're part of the same bloody agency and they're mates. They've probably grown up together. Like, I think it's very, very different. And I just think we're always looking for something, you know? Man United 97 says, why did you make fun of a child's weight? Mate, I've seen this clip. And if you have seen the clip and you're talking about a child's weight, shame on you. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've seen it. I'm not very happy about it. We don't have game footage. So I don't know why people are taking footage of a minor and putting it out there with my footage, which is clipped out of context. So shame on you if you're talking about that. Shame on you if you're sharing that. It's completely out of context. We don't have the footage to the game, so I don't know why people are posting and sharing clips of somebody who's under 16. And that's all I'm going to say about it. At no point do I mention that. I was angry about the referee, and we were waiting a long time with somebody who was running past loads of balls. Got nothing, at no point does it mention that. So welcome to 2025, where people start guessing about stuff to try and cancel you. We don't have game footage, so I don't know why I'm being put with game footage. And whoever's made that footage, that kid is under 16. So you are trying to, you know, God knows how he feels. Got nothing to do with us. Absolutely nothing to do with us. And it's completely out of context. I think it's disgusting, actually. I think it's disgusting. And I think it's disgusting in this day and age that people think it's a good idea to make clips of kids and put it out there. It's got nothing to do with anything. Out of context, one part of the audio is actually moved afterwards. If you're thick enough to take something like that to try and cancel somebody, shame on you. Mentions nothing about weight as well. So you're the one who's fat shaming whoever it is. Disgusting. We've got nothing more to say. It's illegal to do it. It's bang out of order. And imagine how that might make that kid feel. I'm furious about it. Absolutely furious. We do a watch along. We have no footage. And people should not be sharing and interacting with footage of somebody who's under 16. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Bruno is a great player, but never a United captain, says Tarindu. And Marlo says, Cunha's best mate is Anthony and Mermo is mates with Onana. Do you think United's treatment of Anthony and Onana in any way will affect Cunha and Mbeumo's commitment and performance? Not in relation to yesterday. I mean, I thought Mbeumo was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I think that Cunha, when he came on, you know, this is a player that we thought might be injured for a few more weeks. I thought when he ran through at the end, it was absolutely fantastic to win that free kick. I don't see footballers anymore as fans. I don't. They're not what Roy Keane was. They're not what David Beckham was. They're not fans. They're not in touch with the club and the fans. They're professionals. When I look at Man City, I don't see 11 players that love Man City. I see 11 players that are at Man City because they're paid well and Man City are a good side. They're professionals. So football's very different. And it took me a long time to get used to this because I grew up with players that were, you know, Brian Robson's, Roy Keane's, the class of 92, Wayne Rooney. They're in, you know, they're almost part of the crowd. You know, they're in touch with the fan emotions. They get it. Modern football is not about that. You've got to recruit certain types of players that when they put the shirt on, the competitive element and professionalism takes over. So yeah, Cunha might be friends with Anthony, and Anthony's behaved ridiculously bad. Mbeumo might be friends with Onana, and Onana was shit in a United shirt. Ahmad might be friends with Garnacho, and look at what Garnacho did. We shouldn't judge them for that, as long as when they put the shirt on, they are professional. As I say, Bruno Fernandes probably goes out for dinner with Bernardo Silva and Ruben Diaz. They're Manchester City rivals. The problem Man United have made is it's not about having players that are in touch with the fans. That's quite rare. The problem is recruiting the wrong mentalities. The players that are mercenaries. The players that aren't up for the fight. You look at Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City. They may not be diehard Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City fans, but they have professionalism to go out and deliver. And I think when you look at Cunha, I see that. When we won the game yesterday and he's kicking the ball into the Stretford end, he has that desire. And look, the great thing about Mbeumo and Cunha is, with all due respect, we saw it against Wolves, we saw it against Brentford. Sorry, we saw it for Wolves and we saw it with Brentford. They want to succeed. They want to, you know, they want to win. And yeah, players with the X factor, Bulbo, yes. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that as well. Is there anything else I want to talk about? I've got to go in a minute because it can't be late for the game. Ahmad, we've spoken about. Done that. Are you worried about Sesko? We'll talk about Sesko more tonight, I think. Spoke about that. Spoke about Belaba. Spoke about that. Spoke about Bruno. Yeah, pretty much there. I'm feeling, what's wrong with your throat? Oh, I feel really bad 2 nights sleep, but hopefully. So, 8 o'clock show tonight, Sunday night, flagship show of the channel. Looking forward to that. And tomorrow, this afternoon, I'm doing Arsenal against Man City. So looking forward to that. Thanks everyone for tuning in. I think that, look, Ruben Amorim is the captain of this ship. He literally said after the game, it's one game. We can win one game. We can lose the next game. The big thing is to try and start winning more games. What's your reaction? Comments on our wins as Mainu? Well, just spent half an hour talking about it and there's a match reaction to it as well. But fundamentally, a win is a win. I'll always be happy about a win. But I'm not going to lie to myself and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like Bruno in the midfield. I don't like the goalkeeper. I don't like the fact that we're changing the three centre-backs every single game. I want to see us utilise Sesko more. They're my things that were there before the game and are still there now. So really happy. As I said, the Chelsea game, you can't dissect that game. It was just weird. But we won and we deserve to win. And Chelsea are a good side. Technically, we're club world champions now. But I don't go into the Brentford game and think we're back. I go into the Brentford game going, fasten your seatbelts, here we go again. And I think being back is getting consistency. And that's always been our biggest problem. But what it does give us this week is a bit more hope and a bit more, you know, a win where people leave us alone. We know there's certain media outlets out there that are annoyed. They're annoyed at the weekend. Spurs didn't lose. We won. Liverpool won. You know, if Arsenal beat Man City, no one wants to talk about Man City in crisis. Although I will do a video on That's Football. So, you know, we have a week where we can hopefully build on it. Like, there's no excuse not to go and beat Brentford and Sunderland. That's what I would say. That's what we have to do. If we've beaten Brentford and Sunderland, I'm sat there going, maybe we've turned a corner. Maybe we have turned a corner. Three wins from three shows that we can do it. Amorim's not won two in a row. That's the real challenge. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Take care. Make sure you smash a like on the video. I am on That's Football this afternoon for Arsenal Man City, and we're back here at 8 o'clock. I'm off to watch a football match now, so I'll speak to you all in a bit. Have a great day. Stay safe, what you're doing, and I'll speak to you in a bit.